Fight. Welcome to the Philosophy of Fighting Podcast with your hosts, Arturo and Anoop.
What's up, man? How's it going?
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, dude, not a problem. Thank you for having me. I like talking shop, so.
Nice. Yeah. Love the hat.
Yeah, hat appreciates that. It's one of the Dojo Life originals.
Beautiful. Where are you hauling from?
Florida, the Sunshine State.
Right on. Okay, cool. It's the East Coast.
Yeah, that's man. Wonderful. It's chilly as shit outside right now, so I'd more sunshine. That'd be great.
Right on. Well, yeah, thanks again for joining us. I've been a huge fan of your Instagram page forever.
Thank you.
So it kind of feels like we made it a little bit, like you're Instagram royalty, I feel.
And I feel like I'm just some dude. I fucking can't stand martial arts frauds and cons. And I'm just a guy who doesn't like that shit. People just happen to follow me and that's cool. But at the end of the day, I'm just some dude. You know, I always said I'd go on anyone's show that ever asked and I'd answer every direct message I ever got. And I'm sticking to that shit as much as I can.
Love it, man.
Appreciate that. Yeah.
I just assumed you were a guy that had a good sense of humor and I wanted to promote just like the silliness. So the fact that you have this mission behind it as well was definitely going to be one of the questions that I was going to ask you. And yeah, I appreciate
it. It's a grind. It's a daily grind. I was actually literally just talking with the FTC about a company that's been scamming people for over a decade. I'm doing a story about them. Hopefully I can get that out today, but I wanted to make sure that I actually like filed the police report so that way they could stop getting scamming people and get them their money back. I was actually able to get, just through conversation, I think I was able to get about $2,000 or $3,000 back to people who were waiting on orders for over 4 years. One person waited 8 years. And then when I told them, hey, I'm doing this story, like you need to give people their fucking money back. Like, understand where this is going to go. Like, I'm going to play this to the bone. I'll follow your ass to court. I'll make sure these people get their money back. And he just immediately starts shucking out money to try to get people their money back. And he did that for like the first month. And then it became like a chore. Like, I was working for this fucking dude. Like, having to, like, hey, how come you didn't respond to so-and-so? He was like, well, I haven't gotten to it yet. Like, bitch, you should. Like, nothing should be more important right now than the fact that you owe people for like a decade and thousands of dollars. Like, your ass is about to go to jail. So you might want to take care of that as best you can. Then he found out I'm doing a story about him because he thought I was just talking to him. Like, oh, I won't do the story if, like, bitch, I was going to do the story either way. But it would look better if you gave the money back. And then he starts sending out these emails to people like, oh, if we've never taken care of your order, like, you understand the people that got these emails were people he blocked. Like, they ordered, they sent him messages on direct messages. He read them, ignored them for years. And then when they finally said, hey, like, are you going to give me my money back? He blocks them on social media. And then here we are years later thinking that this fucking email is going to matter. Like, bitch, you committed literal wire fraud. Like, this is fraud. Like, you can go to jail for 20 years a piece. Like, it's fucking ridiculous. I don't know. Fuck him.
I have two questions. One is, well, I'm just going to give you a statement. We need people like you in government because I was pissed off today that these banks are getting like bailed out and like regular people always get fucked. And so I like that you're attacking these people and putting money into people's back into their pockets, like putting $2,000-$3,000 back into somebody's pocket that assume they lost it 8 years ago is like semi-life changing. You know, you could go on a nice vacation with your family and kids and have some core memories. So I love that you're doing that. But really quick, what's the FTC? You said you were talking with
Federal Trade Commission.
Okay.
So like if you ever sell anything online or sell anything, period, and the reason that you have to put like certain policies and procedures behind your stuff, like a return policy or having to your shipment policy, all that stuff is regulated by the FTC. So like, for instance, if you buy something from someone, they literally have 30 days to get it to you. And if you as a consumer have to agree if it's past that time or they have to issue a refund. If not, technically they're committing fraud, non-delivery of goods or something like that. But they're committing fraud if past 30 days they haven't communicated with you and told you, like, worked out a deal to extend it. If they don't do that, they're fucking themselves like this dude's doing. I mean, we're talking years. It's the guy has an entire group. There's a group on Facebook, and it's dedicated to nothing but people who have stories about the fraud he committed. And really? There's like over 500 and something people in that group. It's fucking wild.
And how did you come to learn about this?
I get sent stuff all the time, man. Like my inbox is like full of issues, strange issues from like, this would be fraud. I've had issues where people sent me like one time, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm about to go to sleep. And there's a guy who does something similar to what I do in Indonesia. And he goes, hey, man, look at this. And he sends me a video. And the video was of a gang rape. And all of these people were wearing the same martial arts T-shirts. And he was like, this is from like a such and such school here in Bali. He was like, if you could do me a favor and cover it. I was like, first of all, fuck you for sending that to me without telling me what it was. Because it was probably one of the most horrific things I'd ever seen in my life. This woman was passed out. They're putting like kitchen utensils inside of her and she's bleeding all over the place. And it was horrible, man. It's some shit you see on a fucking horror movie, but it really happened. And then I was like, second of all, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this shit? Like, yeah, it's all a martial arts studio. So I did the best that I could. Like, it's difficult. Somebody who followed the page was in Bali and saw that kid. He's like a 16-year-old kid. And in the video, there was a group of kids ranging from what I would assume would be around 16 and up. There looked like maybe some of them were younger, but they were laughing. They were having a good old time. And somebody confronted him outside an ice cream shop in Bali. I still have that video too, where this guy walks up and says, hey man, like confronts him about the gang rape. And in that video, that kid admitted twice to being guilty. Twice he admitted it.
Ooh.
So then that, I guess people were following that case in the area and they saw him and his mom walk into the police office and they just walked away scot-free. Absolutely nothing happened to him. Caught dead to rights on video raping a woman, caught dead to rights two times admitting to it being his fault and being guilty, and then still wind up getting away. And the theory is that circling is that his mom was very well-to-do and pretty much just paid the police off. That's the theory. There's no way of me knowing that, but I mean, when you're caught dead to rights with that much evidence and you still get away, like that kind of shit irritates me to no fucking end. Then it feels like my job, I'm not doing it good enough. It's like, well, I did everything I fucking could. And this rapist piece of shit is going to go walk off and live his life. It's like just shit like that just irritates me with this job, man.
Dude, at least you attempted something and you attempted something all the way from Florida. Right. And the fact that people come to you, like, I think that's admirable. And yeah, look, at least you're building a community of decent people and you tried. That sucks that nothing happened to that person.
Yeah, and but, don't get me wrong. Hey, I'm an asshole too. Like, I'm not perfect. Like, I'm a dick. I smoke weed. I drink. You definitely don't want me involved in politics. I can tell you that right now. But at the end of the day, like, certain shit is just pretty black and white wrong. Like, certain things. I'm not saying sometimes it gets complicated and convoluted, right? But, like, we as martial artists argue over the stupidest shit. Like, oh, well, that guy, that's a McDojo. He got his black belt in like 3 years. Okay, well, but BJ Penn got his black belt in 3 years. Does that mean he's full of shit? Mm-hmm. Oh, so that means it's a subjective argument. BJ Penn does the art you do, so you don't give a shit. But if it's somebody else doing another art, then you care because you want to make yourself feel superior. That's not what a McDojo is. Like, if the school is honest and telling them their students the truth, and the student decides to continue to sign up, no matter what that truth is, that's not a McDojo. Like, who gives a fuck? So this guy, like, let's say he winds up being overweight, morbidly obese. And then he winds up going to like a cardio kickboxing studio because his doctor tells him, hey, if you want gastric bypass, you got to lose 30 more pounds so we can get you there. But you got to do it on your own. And so he goes, you know what? My whole life, I've just treated myself and my body like a fucking carnival playground. I'm going to do something that requires discipline, but I don't think I can do it alone. I think that if I go to a martial arts facility, I'll have a community of people who will push me to make myself better, whatever that is, right? So he decides, you know what? I went to all these different martial arts schools in their trial classes, did jujitsu, didn't like jujitsu for whatever that reason is, but I really did enjoy taekwondo. And so he goes to taekwondo. And then he loses the 30 pounds, gets the gastric bypass surgery, and winds up changing his entire life just so that way he can get online, show the results of that, and have a whole bunch of dickholes call him not good enough because he doesn't do the art they do. Like, that is what martial arts community really is. And people like to pretend that's not what it is, but that's exactly what the fuck it is. It's a lot of people who feel they're better than you because they do something different than you do for a different reason than you do. And that's not what it's supposed to be, right? There's so many more important things than just feeling so fucking self-righteous that all we do is just poke holes at everybody else. Like, what about the fact that there's a record number of pedophiles in this industry? Like, I don't know personally, but that sounds more important than us picking on the guy who lost the weight. I don't know. Call me crazy. You know, so I don't know. I just think that the priorities in this industry are a little fucked, all because of ego, all because everyone thinks it's all about fighting people. Like, look, first of all, 75% of people who join martial arts statistically will never compete a day in their life, ever. Unless you're an asshole, you're probably not going around fist fighting people all the goddamn time. If you are getting into fights all the fucking time, you're the problem. I promise you. All right. You're not going to need martial arts. You need fucking therapy, maybe some medicine. But why is it so? Why is it that everybody puts so much priority and emphasis on can you fight or not? Like, what about the guy with cerebral palsy who has to like bring his ass out of his crutches, fight to get onto the mat, can barely stand when you bow in, the legs shake, they fall, but they keep getting their ass back up. That person will never be physically able to compete against an able-bodied person the same way. They just can't. But yet, why isn't it that we're talking about that person's priority? That person's priority has nothing to do with fighting people. And as a matter of fact, it's a slap in their face to try to make it so that way martial arts is only about that. Because then you're saying that person's useless because they can't fight. That's not how this shit, I don't know, any of this works. It's like that fucking Geico commercial. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this shit works. But people want it to be that way. And they just convolute and dirty and muddy the system until all you have left is a 20-year-old douchebags who think they know everything, even though they're going to quit when they get their blue belt. You know?
Can you tell us a little bit about your martial arts journey? Like, when did you start and what did you train? Like, what got you into martial arts?
Yeah, for sure, man. Well, I started April 12th, which is my birthday. We'll be 26 years in the martial arts industry. I started when I was 12 years old. I was born with a cleft lip and palate. So as you can see, ruined my modeling career. I have scars on my face because of all the surgeries and things I had to go through. Well, I was picked on and teased constantly through school. And when I got to middle school, right around eighth grade, I got jumped by a group of kids right outside of a gym class. They beat me for 5 minutes. And the only reason I know it was 5 minutes was because they beat me from the time the bell rang till the next bell rang, which was 5 minutes in between classes. Two teachers stood there and watched the entire thing, did absolutely nothing about it. As I'm lying there, like, I still got a little tattoo on my finger here from when a kid tried to stab me with a pencil and I defended it and it actually broke off in my hand. That sucked. But if you've ever had your ass whooped in like a 2 or 3 minute round, that sucks. But if you've ever had your ass whooped for 5 minutes by a group of 5 to 6 kids, it sucks even worse than it sounds, I promise. Like, I had glasses then, it broke and cut my face up. So I'm laying there bleeding. Second bell rang, they all scattered. After they scattered, I'm laying there and I have shitty vision, I always have. So off in the distance, I can see like a kind of a more robust, rotund figure walking towards me, which was an acquaintance of mine who's always late to fucking everything. Thanks, Joey. So he's late to my ass whooping. And he walks over and he picks me up and we just start walking to the nurse's office. Like, we didn't really say anything. It was very surreal because it was just some person helping me and I appreciated it. So as I'm like walking towards the nurse's office, he pulls out a card and he used to keep like a stack of like free trial cards like in his pocket because he had trained in a martial arts school and they had a referral program where everybody who signed up, you would get a discount on your next month. So he hands me this card. And he only says, you need this. And that was it. It's the only thing we said to each other the entire walk. I took it and put it in my pocket and I went home that night and I told my mom, I was like, can I do this? And, you know, I had been getting into fights all the time in school because I'm just trying to defend myself, but I can't fight for shit. Like, I'm really bad. And, you know, like they say, like, if you just stand up to a bully, they'll leave you alone. That's a lie. That's bullshit. Like, if you stand up to a bully and win, they will leave you alone. If you stand up into a bully and you suck, now all the other bullies know that they could beat your ass too. Like, removed all question. So I asked my mom if I could do it. And then she told me maybe, which was weird as shit. Because my mom never says maybe. She says yes or no. She's a very direct woman. I've always appreciated that about her. A month later was my birthday, and I got a box. It was the only gift I got for my birthday that year. And it was just a box. And I opened the box, and it was just a piece of paper. And I was like, well, this sucks. Like, what the fuck is that? It was a contract my mom had signed for an entire year at the karate school. My very first class was that day on my birthday. I went, my uniform was already there. I put my uniform on, took my first class, and here we are almost 26 years later talking shit about how I got started.
Wild. So I heard you mention this story before. I had read this interview about, like, you know, that time you got beat up in middle school. I also saw that you had mentioned no teachers interjected in the time you were getting. What happened there? Why do you think that was the case?
My assumption is this, again, this is just my assumption looking back over the years, is that we had an officer on duty at the school always. And anytime I saw a fight, the officer would be the one to intervene and pull people apart. So what I think the problem was is that the teachers were most likely told not to intervene in fights and to just let the officer know. But the officer at that time during that particular fight was breaking up another fight on the other side of campus. So it was just bad timing, you know, like, it makes sense because after class is when all the kids mingle, and that's where you're going to have probably a lot of your issues. And so, you know, there was a lot of fights. Most fights that I knew of in my school anyway would happen in between classes. They wouldn't happen right there because it's harder to break up a fight when there's a large, massive crowd of kids to have to get through before you can break it up. Like in a classroom, it's a little easier because there's not as many. So that's just my assumption, but okay. It sucked. It sucked ass, but I am very grateful for that opportunity because if that never happened, if I didn't go down that path, I wouldn't have probably ever started martial arts, which I am 100% grateful for. I know that it's cliche to say that martial arts changed your life, but it truly did. It changed my entire path of what I was going to do with my life. And I'm forever grateful for that moment. And I know that that's probably a shitty way to get started, but is there a good way? Like, you know, like you start martial arts because you're missing something, whatever that may be, whether it be fitness, friends, mental health, a mentor, the ability to defend yourself. It's rare people start because they think it's just going to be a fun hobby. Like, that's not how usually people start. There's usually a catalyst for making people want to choke and punch people for fun. Or you're just a dick and you already liked choking and punching people for fun.
It's the start of a kung fu movie. You know, like if you watch like Kung Fu Hustle, like, you know, you're this little kid and then you get beat up. And then here's this kid that drops you a card and goes, this is what you need. And it's like it's a very fairy tale type story. Me and Arturo also did a podcast on whether teachers should be allowed to intervene because I'm a teacher. And I feel like a lot of I get so angry when I see these kids beating each other up and bullies fucking kids up. And then teachers just kind of being gentle. Like, to me, it's like policing. Like, you don't want to see police brutality, but you also can't take the threat of violence away. And I feel like a teacher should be allowed to interject because you're letting somebody get, I mean, for you, it was a catalyst to a good story, but I wonder how many kids get beat up. And it changes their life and they just hide from the rest of the world. Like, how are you not diving in and pushing the other people away?
Well, I have a couple theories about this as a kid who was bullied in school, right? My first theory is I think that the word bullying is a shitty word and we should stop using it. I think that when you use the word bullying, what you're doing by nature is you're dumbing down things that actually have laws against them and you're trying to condense them into a word that has no law against it. So for instance, if somebody hits you, we have laws against that, like assault and battery. You could be charged. If you call it bullying, there's no law against that. If someone is stalking you, we have laws against that. Call it stalking. Don't call it bullying. Call it assault. Don't call it bullying. You know, stop using this word for everything to generalize someone being mean to you. Like people are going to be assholes. And when I grew up, that person was just called an asshole, right? And that wasn't, bullying was a thing and quite literally ruins a lot of people's lives. Tom DeBlass has this beautiful initiative that he started. I highly respect him for doing this, where he is trying to be a champion for people and kids who have been assaulted and abused in schools and getting them into martial arts programs proactively. Instead of just waiting for those kids to come to them, he's actually physically going out there and trying. Like, if he sees a video of a kid bullying, he'll post it and say, hey, whoever this is, find him. I want him. Let's get him into a program. And that's an incredible thing. It's very empowering to walk into a room and feel secure in your own skin, which is very difficult for people, even in their 40s and 50s, to feel comfortable in your own skin. But nothing makes you feel a little more confident than the ability to choke a son of a bitch to sleep who's fucking with you. Like, it makes you feel good, right? But I think the other thing that might help too is I think that we might need to change some laws about how we handle things on school property. I think that once you reach a certain age, like for instance, elementary school, we can pretty much assume that the 8-year-old is probably not going to be able to beat up the teacher, right? And we're just going to assume that.
Yep.
Once we start getting into middle school, though, we start getting these strange growth spurts. We start getting, I think that if a child weighs and is over a certain height, they should be treated as an adult on school property, period. If you were above this height and you're above this weight, at that moment, you will be considered and tried as an adult for any physical action you do against a teacher. If you assault a teacher when you're 8 years old, that's just annoying, unless you fucking stab them, right? But if you do that as, like, let's say a 15-year-old who's on a middle school wrestling team and all you do is work out all the time and you're thick and you're big and as big as an adult, you should be tried as an adult. Like, there was a video the other day that went viral of a teacher who got knocked unconscious because they took away the kid's, like, what was it? It was his Nintendo Switch. Like, you, like, could have possibly killed a woman. And then what are we going to do to that kid? At the end of the day, he should be tried as a fucking adult. And then the parents out there will be like, oh, well, you know, like, he's a kid. He doesn't know any better. I bet you a lot of kids would learn real fucking fast when they start throwing around some sentences. Like, us trying to rely on one or two people to raise a child is kind of silly. As a society, it takes a village. It's an old saying, but it's true. If a parent sees the child for X amount of time, that parent only has X amount of influence, especially if a parent goes to work. They drop their kid off at school, especially like, let's say, a high school. And when the kid gets there at like sometimes 6:30 in the morning, kid gets there from 6:30, then he's there till 2, he or she. Then after that goes to some type of sports activity, which might have them there until maybe 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Then a parent picks them up. Then they have to do their homework. Then they go to sleep. Maybe the parent has a couple hours of interaction with this kid. Do you really think they're getting all their influence from their parents? So that whole, like, let's blame the parents thing is mostly bullshit. Like, yeah, it does start at home, but let's be honest. It also branches out to all these other little fuckhead kids who they're learning from, all the teachers they're learning from, all their coaches that they're learning from, all their mentors that they're learning from. It takes a village. So for us to try to pin blame on one person, just don't fucking work that way. That's not reality. Reality is that we have a responsibility to teach children. And sometimes that lesson is through discipline. And sometimes that discipline is really not fucking fun. Like, for instance, when a 6'1", 15-year-old decides they're going to knock out a teacher, that discipline needs, now it's time you're going to go to court. Then you're going to talk about assault and battery. Then you're going to be charged as an adult. And if that fucks up your life for that amount of time, maybe it should have. Maybe it should have. Because maybe that'll teach the next 5 kids who decide to beat the shit out of a teacher what the consequences will be of that. Now, will it solve everything? I don't think so. But I think it'll keep some things in check, my opinion. Yeah,
the teachers feel impotent. So I got in trouble because actually, while like these kids were yelling at me and threatening to fight me, these middle schoolers that were like, yo, we're going to fight you. They wanted to fight me. They're like, we're going to see you outside. They were even doing finger guns like they were going to shoot me. This one kid yelled in my face, walked up to me, yelled in my face. And I told him, I was like, if you did that outside, there would be problems. Not necessarily that I would hurt him, but if you did that to anybody outside, they would fucking hit you. Right now, you have the privilege of being in school. You're lucky. I got in trouble for verbal abuse.
I have a question. This is something that's always been on the tip of my mind whenever I see things like this, right? So if you were anywhere in public and a teenager threatened violence against you, I'm pretty sure that's still not legal. And so what's stopping you as a teacher from being able to call the police right then and there and say, you know what? All right, now you're threatening me. Okay, well, I'm going to call the police and now they're going to handle this. And even though you're on school property, it sounds like it's still not legal for them to threaten your life.
I don't know. I called the principal. Nobody came up. So then I have to handle it myself. And then they don't like the way I handled it. So I get in trouble. And then it's just like the kids continue to do what they want to do because they just feel untouchable. And yeah,
the system is kind of set up in a way to protect them, and in a way it should protect them in certain cases. But at the end of the day, whenever you start going down a path of illegal activity, like it should be, they should be treated like an adult. That's just my opinion. I think that if you have the right to be the size and act the way an adult acts, you should be treated the way an adult's treated. Like, that's just my opinion. And when I was a child growing up, of course, I was raised a very specific way. And the way that I was raised was that you treated adults with respect. Now, though, I was also raised that respect is earned, not given. So I would give first. And then if they were no longer someone I should respect, I would take it away. But everyone always started with my respect. You started with an A in the class, right? And then you made the decision if you were going to keep it or not. That's just how I was raised. And so if I had a teacher or someone I did not respect, I wouldn't interrupt them. I just wouldn't respect them. I don't have to like interrupt and disrupt their day and be an asshole because I don't like someone. Like, I can just move on with my day. I only have to deal with this person X amount of time. I'm just going to shut up, do my work, move on with life so I can graduate and then eventually not have to deal with these people anymore. But that's the strange times that we're living in, because we're not in the time I grew up. We're in a time where everything starts online. Children's communication skills are starting at a very young age, but it's not necessarily through verbal communication. Their true communication is starting online. So they're getting a tablet early. They're getting a cell phone early. They're learning how to type and text very early, which is kind of cool in a way, because kids at a younger age now are learning to be a little bit more literate. And luckily for them, they have like autocorrect, right? So even if they're really dumb, the computer's still working with them, right? But if you look at the way people communicate with each other online, it's very nasty. It's what kids don't understand is a lot of adults are using the internet as their personal therapy. So what will happen is an adult will go on there and start having these angry verbal arguments with other people. And then kids will go on there and read that. And that's all they're seeing. They're seeing all of this venom being thrown at each other. So it doesn't surprise me that kids would grow up with a more poor attitude, because we as adults are not acting as adults. We're hiding behind a computer screen, making private profiles, trying to say the things that we feel in our head rather than just doing what an adult would do and try to find a more positive way to handle life. That's not what people are doing online. Go to any comment section ever and you're automatically going to see a couple things. You're going to see anyone who's saying bullshit that people would not say in public most likely has a private profile, probably has no profile photo, so they have complete anonymity. They don't have to worry about anyone coming after them. They feel that they can say and do whatever they want. And then, of course, because there's no repercussions to these things, as people start to grow up in that environment, they go, oh, I can say and do whatever I want, and I won't get in trouble. Then by the time they actually reach an area where they're dealing with people in the real world physically, then why would they automatically change their behavior? Now their behavior is just learned at a young age to be an asshole online, and then they become assholes in real life. And then we get the kind of the issues that we're having now in school, where there is no respect because they weren't raised on respect. And even if the parents taught them respect, that's not what they're being bombarded with 24/7. Just not the way it works. It's unfortunate and it's sad to see, but I just think that maybe it starts with us as people and how we choose to communicate. Like, everything you write now online is there forever. And then everything that you write is open to thousands of people to read. I think that we should have a little bit more self-accountability for how the world is working and operating. Everyone, we should look around and go, this is happening because of me. And I think if more people did that and took personal accountability, I think the world might get a little better. You know, instead of blaming every fucking person on the planet for your own bullshit, what did you do to fix it? How did you cause this? Like, do you know your neighbor's name? Because if you don't fucking bitch and moan that your neighborhood's shitty. You don't even know their fucking name. Like, and you're going to blame what, the president or your mayor or your governor? Like, how about blame your fucking self? If you walked past trash today and said, I can't believe how dirty this neighborhood is, but you didn't pick up anything, you're a part of the problem, motherfucker. Like, be a solution. Same thing with people's attitudes. Now, don't get me wrong. Very much hypocritical in the way my attitude is because I'm an asshole by trade. But still an observation. If we could be better people, maybe we can make the world a little better.
So I was curious, you spoke about accountability and you spoke about the internet, how everything's on the internet. I can't believe that there are this many McDojos still out on the internet with videotape. Like, for me, like, And for people that haven't gone to your profile, people, everybody should see it, McDojo Life. And they'll show people that'll do they'll fake pressure points or death touches or like Street Fighter type, like Hadoukens, so whatever. Things. How do people believe that? Like, how are people bold enough to create videos of them doing that and then share it? And are they making money or is it just hilarity? Like, I don't get it.
Well, that's a lot of questions kind of all at once. So I'll try to do my best. Well, first of all, cults still exist. Cults will probably all exist because the root word of culture is cult. So our culture is made up of a lot of different cults. I mean, if you look around, there are cults in everything. And again, we were talking about online presence and the way people speak to each other. Just go to any post. A post about puppies, a post about flowers, a post about the weather, a post about the news, and there will always be someone in the comment sections talking about politics. Doesn't matter what it was, right? Because if all you do is talk about that one subject over and over and over again, you are brainwashed. You're in a cult, whether it's for the right, whether it's for the left, whether it's for the middle, it doesn't matter. If that's all your brain goes to 24/7, you're in a cult, brother. Like, you're brainwashed. Like, there's more to life than just one subject. There are millions of subjects. You don't always have to bring it to the one thing. Well, like, this guy in blue said this. Well, this guy in red said this. And I look at both of you and I go, you're all in a fucking cult. Every one of you. You just don't know it. Right? So cults are everywhere. Second of all, you don't know what you don't know. Most people on the planet avoid fighting like the plague. They do not want to purposely get into an altercation. Martial artists are rare because we literally picked the hobby where we're guaranteed to get choked or punched or thrown. So we have to remember, we're the minority in hobbies. It's not like there's more people doing martial arts than anything else. It's not the case, right? The average person who joins a martial arts studio will drop out between 8 months to a year and a half, which means the average person will drop out usually at about a year. In jiu-jitsu, we call it the blue belt blues, right? But that's every art. It's not just jiu-jitsu. So if we think about it, most people just don't do that hobby. Then the last part of it is everyone, any of us can be fooled. I know people don't want to believe this. People do not want to believe that anyone could be susceptible to falling victim of a cult or falling victim of someone who is a fraud. But everyone can, period. There is no question to it. Anyone can. And I think the reason people don't believe that they can is because they do not look at a fraud as a profession. A fraud in itself is its own profession. There are skills and tricks and techniques. If a guy walked into a jiu-jitsu, a MMA, or a boxing academy tomorrow, and this happens all the time, by the way, they walk in and they go, I want to be a pro fighter. Like, okay, well, have you ever fought? No, man, I'm from the streets. I never lose. Like, everyone in that room is going to crack up laughing. Do you know why? Because everyone in that room knows that person's full of shit. Why? Because they know the time, energy, effort, and techniques behind having to actually be good. And you coming from the streets and being hard and being a thug and being a gangster, none of that means dick when you fight a professional fighter. Because a professional has a lot of time, experience, technique, effort, attributes that they built. It's not just they were good. That's not how the world works, right? So now let's take that and let's apply it with just a couple questions. And I guarantee you, the moment that I say these questions, you will start to realize, yes, you can be defrauded. All right. So I'll give you one, right? Are you a lawyer?
No.
Do you think you'd be better at law than a lawyer?
Yes.
and that ego would make you go to jail real quick. So the answer is
no. I'm the lawyer. But yeah.
All right. So are you a mechanic?
No.
Do you think you'd be better at fixing a car than a mechanic?
Never. That, no.
Are you a doctor?
No.
Do you think you'd be better at an open heart surgery than a professional doctor?
No.
All right. Are you a fraud?
Sometimes, maybe.
Might not want to say that online, buddy.
No.
That goes back to you not being a lawyer. Not
intentionally. Never been a fraud intentionally.
No. So, well, fraudulent activity is in itself a profession. So like if you aren't a fraud, do you think you'd be better at scamming people than a fraud?
Mm.
No, you wouldn't be, because there are skills and tricks and tips in order to scam people efficiently and effectively. It's the same thing with a magician. If a magician does a trick, you might assume all day long that you know how the trick's done and be completely fucking wrong. That's how magic works. They give you just enough to go, I think I know how you did it, but you don't know. You have no fucking idea. You're guessing, you're hoping, you're wishing, but you can't reproduce it because you yourself are not a magician. So unless you learn it, and then now you know the trick. It's the same thing with defrauding people. Like, getting people to say and do and act certain ways is a skill and a trick. And you look at things like Jim Jones. Jim Jones, when he was a child, would literally go to every sermon he could go to, every church, doesn't matter the denomination, as a kid, and he would sit and watch the preacher or the pastor. And he would watch how they would get people to do things. And then he would go, okay, he'd take a book and he'd go practice sermons in the woods to animals, to no one. He would just practice in the woods. And he developed that skill over years. His entire life he dedicated to learning how to be good at manipulating people. And at first, it starts off with good intentions. The guy was able to be one of the first like front runners to the civil rights movement. A lot of the restaurants at the time would not allow Black people to go in and eat and drink inside their establishments. But what he would do is, because the majority of his congregation was African-American, he would take them to those restaurants and say, hey, I have over 175 people here who all have wallets and money and want to pay you. Now, we can go down the street and pay someone else, or we could pay you. What do you want? And one restaurant at a time started assimilating these people into those restaurants. Now, at first you go, that's fucking amazing. This guy was able, during a time when that was unheard of, was able to do that. Next thing you know, he discovers cocaine and blowjobs. Then all of a sudden he's fucking everybody in his congregation. Then all of a sudden he starts abusing those people, abusing drugs. And then all of a sudden the government starts looking into him. He was able to convince them to move out of the country. And we're not talking about convince one person to move out of the country. He convinced an entire like congregation, almost a village of people, to leave the country on a plane with him to go somewhere, even though they knew that the government was investigating them. And then when they got there, he was able to convince those people that they should probably not say anything to outsiders because now they're in fear for their life. They wind up having a senator, I think, show up with a couple people to that compound. And someone was able to slip a note to them and say, hey, we really need your help. When they got to the airport, they were gunned down by his followers. And then anyone who did not drink the Kool-Aid, which is where that term comes from, was also gunned down. So it started off with this guy just learning how to manipulate people. He didn't show up one day and just go, you know what? I think I'm going to be a fraud now. It's not how it works. So when all these people are out there are blown away by the fact that in this time and age, people could still be conned by that shit. It's just as simple as thinking about yourself as a mechanic. If you take your car to go to a mechanic and you say, my car isn't working, the mechanic could tell you anything and you would have to believe them because you don't know shit about cars.
Yep.
If you go to a doctor and the doctor said you have all these things wrong with you, how the fuck do you know? You don't know. You only assume because you trust the doctor. You trust the mechanic. You trust your martial arts instructor. And that trust is how you get taken advantage of.
That's a great point. You're right. And like you said, most people don't know how to fight. For me, it was the aura stuff. When they would do like energy blasts, like that stuff, I was always like, you shouldn't believe. Like if you get defrauded over that. But you're right. Anything else like the Detroit dust guy or whatever, you know, like people that are saying certain things like, because that is semi believable, right? They got the uniform, they got the attitude, and you don't know what you're doing.
And he is a very good con artist. Like Dale's probably one of my favorite modern con artists because he will go to people specifically and he has a very specific way of filibustering during conversation. He manipulates people who already know that he's manipulating people. It's very like, if he wasn't such a dick, it would almost be impressive. It's like, it would be like if Dale showed up to your house right now, there's a good 50-50 chance in my mind he would still be able to convince you that he's right. Like just because of the way that he talks, the way he manipulates people, he's practiced the patter. He knows how to like, I see him do shit to people in front of their face and it's like watching a magician work. It's like, I can see from the outside exactly what he's doing, but I can't tell the person on the video because they already filmed. Like one of my favorite shit that Dale Brown does is one of my favorite contradictions is he constantly tells people do not keep one round in the chamber for your firearm. He talks about that being a safety issue. He said, never keep a round in the chamber for your firearm. But then he'll turn around and do these experiments where he'll hand someone an airsoft gun and he'll put one of his airsoft guns behind his back. And then he'll say, all right, whenever you see me move, I want you to pull the trigger. And he pulls the airsoft gun out and he's able to get a round off before they can. Well, let's go back to the logic. The logic, you just told me not to keep a round in the chamber, yet you yourself somehow magically keep a round in the chamber? Like, no. If by his logic, you'd have to pull rack, and then by that time, you're dead, right? So his contradictions are there. Just people usually don't pay them much attention because he'll talk over you or talk through you when you do try to get to a subject. It's very smart. He'll like try to get you 30 sentences down the road away from the topic you're on, and it confuses a lot of people, so they have a hard time staying on point.
Plus, yeah.
I'm just tossing out there. Dale's a douchebag. Just to break it down, he's just an asshole.
Yeah, and I agree with everything that you're saying, and I also appreciate the Jim Jones analogy about being in a cult and, you know, like a little bit of that magic, and, you know, you don't realize you're in it until you're in it, and then yeah, you could be twisted. So I think it's important that you get into good stuff early. So you kind of maybe have aware of the signs of what's good, you know, and then maybe you could avoid some of the bad by seeing that. Arturo, did you want to say anything?
The thing that marvels me is when people use like these energy, or like you have the martial arts instructors staying completely still, and then the students will go up to them to attack, and then they flip over and stuff. The fact that it's like multiple people in on this, like, do you believe that those students really buy it, or they're just part of the act, or do you think it's a case by case?
I think it's case by case, but a lot of it is like a form of brainwashing. So we're a lot of times, by the time we see videos like that, what we're not seeing is the buildup. And so what I'll try to do is give you an example of something that's a little more modern and recent with Diego Sanchez. So anybody who follows Diego Sanchez's career knows that he's always been a bit eccentric, right? But that's why we love Diego Sanchez, because there's no one on the planet like him. He's a very unique individual. His mannerisms, the way that he speaks, his confidence, like, he's a very interesting person to watch. And so he makes him an entertaining fighter. Well, he was at Jackson Winklejohn for a very long time. I do believe, if I remember correctly, he was one of the first alum for the Ultimate Fighter. And he's still active fighter. He was just in a bare knuckle fight not that long ago, a couple months ago. So he's still active. A lot, almost all of them, if not all of those guys from that era, are all retired, it seems, except for him. And so he's at Jackson Winklejohn, and somewhere in that, he was having something going on in his life, right? And along comes this guy named Joshua Fabia. Now, Joshua Fabia is like this, like, he looks like a Keebler elf. He looks like a dude that should, like, be in a tree making cookies, right? He's this little tiny little guy, right? And from what I see in Joshua Fabia's history, the only real martial art that I've seen or noticed that he kind of has done seems to be Sistema, which Sistema in itself is a very odd, strange art, because even though it's called Sistema, which means system, in itself, Sistema does not have a system. There is no standardized curriculum. So, like, it's contradictory. Like, there's no system to a system called system. Like, it's weird. So Diego Sanchez winds up befriending our Joshua Fabia. And so they become close, and Fabia becomes like a mentor. And if you watch Fabia speak, he speaks like a guru speaks. He speaks like he has all the answers. Like, no matter what he says, he is aware of the truth. No one else, but he knows. And so when you're vulnerable like that and you need a friend and you have people giving you tough love, sometimes your brain will convince you that those people are bad for you, even though they're telling you the truth. Sometimes the truth does not feel good. When your friend walks up to you and talks to you about how you're gaining weight, yeah, that hurts your feelings, but it might be fucking true. You know, if your friend tells you you're being stupid, yeah, it might hurt your feelings, but it might be true. So, but when you have a lot of that happening, and then all of a sudden you have somebody over here saying, hey, don't listen to them. It's like having the devil and the angel on your shoulders, right? You have somebody telling you the truth you might not want to hear, but then you have somebody telling you all those sweet little things that you do want to hear, and it feels good. So you gravitate towards that. Next thing you know, they slowly but surely start to groom you, which is what the process is called. And now they isolate you away from people that you thought were your friends, but they've convinced you that they're not. Next thing you know, you're hanging upside down on your OnlyFans while Joshua Baby is punching you in the head.
Oh, I know.
And they've convinced you that this is a good idea. Fabia took over his OnlyFans and is like videotaping him working out, voicing over, like, look at that sweet ass. Like, that's weird. That's creepy. But you don't notice that at first. He had the entire internet worried for his health, saying, hey, you got to get away from this guy. But that's not how that works. a bad relationship everyone else can see but you. And then eventually he does see the signs and he does get out on his own. But it takes yourself to get out on your own. Now, this was somebody who was in the UFC, one of the most elite of the elite, was a part of the original Ultimate Fighter alum, still fighting, had an entire career, and it was all fucked up by this one asshole who decided that he wanted to take over and be the guy in the spotlight. At the time, Diego Sanchez couldn't even do an interview without Fabia being there all the time. And that was very sad for a lot of people to see because he would just bogart and take over all these interviews. I mean, he was even on, what's the schmo? You know, the guy who does all the interviews and shit. But he was on the schmo's thing, and the schmo and his, I think it's his wife, do that show together. And Fabia and Diego were on the other side of the table. And something came up about intimidation and how Fabia felt that Diego was not being treated fairly and how it made him uncomfortable. So in order to make sure that people knew his point, Fabia gets up from his seat at the table and gets intimidatingly close to the schmo's wife. Now, I don't know if you've met the schmo, but like, he's pretty in shape, dude. Fabia, again, is like a Keebler elf. So like, the schmo probably could have beat the shit out of Fabia for trying to intimidate his wife. He didn't have to do this to get his point across, but he chose to do it. And so that's like scary shit. And again, from the outside, we could see that being an issue. But this is not just some guy. This is not someone who's not educated in the martial arts. This is somebody who's been there, done that, whose jiu-jitsu is phenomenal, right? And he's fought at the highest levels against the highest level athletes. And he was taken advantage of by somebody. So it's not that hard when we start breaking apart the real issues, which is most people have a time in their life where, you know, you're vulnerable. And then someone can come along and take advantage of those little vulnerable moments. And even with the no touch knockout stuff, how many people have superstitions? You know, superstitions are bullshit. They're just bullshit. It's just made up bullshit. Like, don't open an umbrella inside. Don't walk under a ladder. Don't break a mirror. Like, some people believe that shit wholeheartedly. Oh my God, 7 years ruined because of this mirror.
I never do any of those things. I never.
Or like, how about some other things? Like, if I wear my special jersey, my team will do well.
Yeah, I'll do that too. I do everything that you say, I do. I meant to say I do that. Like, I never walk under a ladder. I'll never break a mirror.
But like, that's all bullshit, right? So if we could, like, how many, like, and again, I'm agnostic. I'm an agnostic, just to be fair, right? So that means I feel like I don't know. I feel like there's a ton of shit I don't fucking know, right? But I can tell you one thing I do know. Jonah did not spend like time in a whale under the sea. That's bullshit. That didn't fucking happen. All right. Like, Noah did not build this fucking ark and stick a whole bunch of two of every animal in the goddamn thing. Why? Because all the other animals would eat them. Right. Like, I'm just saying, there's certain things that are bullshit that people just believe. Right. And so it's not that hard to manipulate people into believing other things. All you have to do is find the one thing that they believe that other people might not understand and just keep tugging at that. Like, look at Indonesia. Indonesia believes in things like Debus. Debus, which if anybody wants to look this up, it's D-E-B-U-S, Debus. And Debus is the act of self-mutilation without harm. So what will happen is you'll get all of these people, thousands of people, the gathering in the middle of like a square. And then what they'll do is you'll have people in the middle performing this act of Debus, where they'll take things like needles and run them through their face, or chainsaws on their arms and legs, and like razor blades, and you'll see blood everywhere. And then all of a sudden they'll wipe it off and there's no damage done. Now, this is just a magic trick. It's just a trick, but this is deeply rooted inside religion. This is religious beliefs that was embedded into martial arts cults over there. Or how about Ilmu Laduni, I-L-M-U, Laduni, L-A-D-U-N-I. And that's like where you'll see somebody like toss their hands up, like the no-touch knockout stuff, but the other person will freeze in place and they can't move, right? And they'll pick them up and move them around, but they do not move from that structure. And then you have something called Tanaga Dalam. Now, Tanaga Dalam translates to inner power. And that's where you'll see somebody throw their hand like a no-touch knockout, and it'll knock the person back like 30 feet. Some cases, they teach this shit to the military and police.
Whoa. Really?
Deep-rooted beliefs. Absolutely. These are deep-rooted beliefs that when you're born, you're already there. Like, imagine if you're around a cult, like on an island. We'll make it easier. So there you are on an island, and that's where you were born. And there's only like 75 people on this island. And they all believed that the color green was the color blue, right? All believed it. That's what you were raised. That is blue. Now, in the whole entirety of the world, that's not blue, that's green. But that's not what your island says, but that's all you know. So by the time you make it off that island and you go to other people, you're going to continue to say, oh, well, that's blue. And you're going to be corrected over and over and over and over again. Why? Because that's your belief. It is ingrained in your mind that that is the facts and the truth because you learned it at a young age and you were born and raised to do it, right? With the deepest thing, I've seen children run over by trucks and killed because they believed they could not be harmed. I saw an 8-year-old slit his throat and kill himself because he believed that he could not be harmed because he didn't know it was a magic trick. Like, he was not aware it was a trick because they're not told it's a trick. They're told that it's real. And so that's the hard part. Like, yeah, sometimes we see people as an adult and you go, how can a sane adult believe that? Well, what if they didn't start off as an adult? What if that's not how their views or their structure or their beliefs are? You know, like, there are people who don't work on Sundays. Like, that's their belief. There are people who, you know, they need to at every certain hour, they have to pray a certain way. The belief structures are belief structures. They just are what they are. Now, whether we think they're bullshit or not, imagine taking that same belief structure of something that's very common and crazy. Like, imagine you're hanging out with a friend and all of a sudden they put down a mat and they start doing a prayer. You would never look at that person and say, you're a fucking moron. What are you doing? Because you respect the fact that that's their religious beliefs. But the problem is that they're not trying to do that to defend someone's life. That's where we start stepping in and saying, yo, you got to cut that shit out. Like, you trying to tell somebody that you could wave your hand and knock them out? Are you saying that you could poke someone in a certain spot and all of a sudden they'll stop fighting you? Those are lies that get people hurt. And that's where the line is for me.
I'm learning so much from this. And that analogy with color is actually true. I think for a long time, there was no word for like the color blue. And they would call things like the ocean, like purple or greens, like, and they would use the words that they used. And then until like they came and they brought that word like to people's minds, then they started seeing the blue. So people literally couldn't see the, like, they would visualize it differently based on what they knew. And yeah, what you're saying about all these martial arts, if I watched a whole bunch of people cut themselves and do magic tricks, I think there's a part of me that would, if I was like the lonely type, I would hang out with those people at the very least. And then like, if there were some pretty girls there, I'd be like, oh, I'll hang out with the, you know, and I'd be like, I know this isn't real, but I'll hang out with them. And then maybe I would start to be like, whatever, it's real enough.
Lies all the time in children. We do it all the time in children. Mm-hmm. Like, how many kids believe in Santa Claus? That Santa Claus is an actual physical person that goes down your chimney, even though your house doesn't have one, and somehow gets into your home and delivers presents that are all written from mom and dad. Like, some reason, like, we lie to kids doing this shit, and then we pretend like we don't. Like, how could people believe this shit? Well, didn't you try to convince your fucking kid who's like 3 that Santa Claus is a real actual being who's committing, breaking and entering like every once a year? Like, you're perpetuating a lie yourself. And like
Easter Bunny, leprechauns, there's so many. Yeah,
we perpetuate bullshit all the time. So it's like, it just seems out there because we're educated. That's all that is. Like, as a martial artist, you're educated in the arts. You know that that's bullshit. And let's be honest, even people who don't train, you know what I've never done? I've never seen dog shit on the floor and picked it up and eaten it. But you know what? I could still spot dog shit. I don't need to taste it to know the flavor. I bet you it tastes like dog shit if I had to guess. So it's the same thing with, like, I've never been hit by a fucking bus going 70 miles an hour, but I guarantee you I don't want to. Right. It's the same thing when you look at martial arts. You have all these people going, well, you've never done it, so you don't know. Like, yes, bitch. Yes, you do now. Like, I've never tasted dog shit. I know it's going to taste like dog shit. I know what it looks like. I know what the texture is going to be like. All that. I don't need to have interacted with it that much to understand the truth. And so it's like with martial arts, right? You see something like jiu-jitsu. It's one of my favorite arts to like see someone do badly, because jiu-jitsu is very systematic. You do A, B, and C, and you will get D. If you miss A, miss B, or miss C, this will not work. You have to do A, B, and C, like a basic mount escape. Someone sitting on your chest, you bridge, maybe trap an arm, roll, right? Very basic. if you just bridge and roll, you're not going to get them off of you. You're going to just give up your back, right? Or they're just going to stay on top of you and go, what are you doing? Because they're going to keep catching themselves because you never eliminated a post. But I see videos all the time of people like going, just skipping over that fundamental thing. And then when you call bullshit on it, people go, well, in some situations it might work. Yeah. If they don't have any fucking arms, like you don't have to be a genius to figure some of this stuff out. That's all I'm saying. Doesn't take much to spot bullshit in this industry.
Yeah. I mean, I still see like self-defense videos being, I mean, you'll repost sometimes of people doing these exact things where they're just, you know, they think this one hand is blocking all potential strikes and yeah, they have the other hand. They'll just freely do whatever they want. Yeah. And people buy into it because to someone untrained, it may look like that's working because they're showing that's working.
My favorite piece of bullshit in martial arts isn't even the no touch stuff, although I do love that. My favorite piece of bullshit in martial arts is the argument that, oh, you do that for sport. That would never work on the street. Or you train sport. I train for real life. All right, let's go down that path. Let's play that game. So you mean that you don't compete. And as a matter of fact, you're against competition because you believe that it builds a rule set that will be hard to break in a real situation, right? Mm. So how have you tested what you do? Competition is a test. Like that is a pressure test. Can you do this against someone who is resisting you? Well, you know, in the streets, I would bite you and eye gouge you and kick you in the nuts. All right. So when I go to your class, is that what we're going to practice? Are we going to poke each other in the fucking eye all the time? No, because you can't practice that. Right. Yeah. You can put on goggles, but you're not going to practice what it's like to get caught in the eye for real. Mm-hmm. You know where you're going to get that real practice? An accident that happens in actual training. Like when you go into MMA, how many people get eye gouged during MMA? Mm-hmm. Happens often. Right. And there is an effect there. But again, in real life, do you really believe that would stop some? I saw a video the other day of a guy, and it was like one of those bare knuckle fights that they have overseas that looks super illegal on concrete. And the guy just went all ham, just trying to do nothing but go after the eyes, and he wind up getting knocked out. Like there are skill sets. Like there is no one magic technique that solves all. Situation dictates technique. And so when I see these gurus, these self-defense gurus who talk about the streets, it's like, all right, so it's either one or two. Either you're the biggest asshole on the planet and you really have tested all these techniques on the streets because you're going out there to get into fist fights on the streets and you pressure tested that. One, you're a dick. You have to be. Or two, you're full of shit. You haven't pressure tested these things and you're trying to find ways to not have to prove it. Whereas competition proves it. Hands down. So I think that if you're going to learn how to defend yourself, you probably should compete once or twice. Because how do you know what that adrenaline feels like? How do you know what it's like to have another person try to hurt you? Because in any competition, don't get it twisted, they would be happy to because you're trying to hurt them. Like you think when they're guillotining you, they're going to be like, well, I'm just going to take my time and not hurt my buddy. They're going to try to rip your fucking head off because they want to win. You know, like it happens all the time in jiu-jitsu competitions where someone will go for like a toe hold and they'll just wrench it and something pops. Or they'll go for a heel hook and they'll all of a sudden a knee will pop. Right? It is what it is. Competition helps you get better in street situations because it puts you in that situations where you have to deal with the intangibles that you don't get in regular training. The adrenaline dump, the crowd, the tunnel vision, all of these things don't happen in regular training. Like, so now it's all one of my favorite pieces of bullshit that's in the industry where you see this guy always like, oh, that works in the sport. That wouldn't work in the street. Yeah, it would. Because the guy who's learned all the sports shit too, can also bite you, can also pinch you, can also eye gouge you, can also pull your hair, and they don't need to go into any classes to learn how to do that. Those options are always there.
My old coach, I asked my old coach, I was like, what do you say to people that say, like, you could, like, they're going to eye gouge you or bite you? He's like, I'm going to eye gouge you better. I have your back. Like, you know, like, you can't reach that. He's like, you're just praying. Yes. You're 100% right. I hate that discussion and that argument as well.
Talking about this and thinking through this, it's even within the martial arts communities for people that are trained, sometimes they'll see something that is plausible, like it has a mechanism of explanation, and they'll take that as evidence. But if it hasn't been like tested through competition or through the streets or whatever, then it's not necessarily the case. Like that's how like our science works, right? Like we could always think of a plausible mechanism to explain something, but it doesn't necessarily make it so. And so I do think that, like, now, thinking about it, that a lot of people can be duped through that means. Yeah.
So, like, when it comes down to plausible deniability, I think that you can convince people of just about anything. I think there's a lot more of the opposite, if that makes sense. I think there are a lot of things that are legitimate that people push off to the side, calling it not legitimate, than there are not legitimate things that people call legitimate, if that makes sense. Like kata, for instance, right? Kata is punching and kicking and doing techniques in the air, and people will shit all over it. They'll be like, kata's ridiculous, right? But shadow boxing is literally the same shit, except one is specific techniques and the other is more of a freestyle. Like, you're still just punching and kicking the air. It's the same shit. So this dude, you'll see a guy like shadow boxing on his page, like on Instagram, right? And be like, kata's bullshit. Like, you're doing a fucking kata right now. Punching and kicking the air, jackass. Like, it's the same shit. The thing that makes kata bad is what they call bunkai. Bunkai means application. And so that interpretation of what the technique is, like this outblock, right? Like you'll see in more traditional karate, like, 9 times out of 10, that's not actually a block. But some person will say this is a block. And another person will say, like, it's an overhook where you're actually trying to wrench someone's arm in an Americana style. Like, if someone has a shallow underhook, you go over and you wrench that elbow. It's the same movement that you're trying to do. But the application, the bunkai, will be different from different people. So a lot of people call kata bullshit because there are definitely people out there who have poor application when explaining it. Like, they'll just explain the application poorly. So I think there's more of that in the industry, or people will say karate's bullshit. Which one? There's like 1,000 different versions of karate. Which one? Are we going to say it's Kyokushin karate? Okay, well, that's GSP is a Kyokushin black belt. Baz Rutten is a Kyokushin black belt, I do believe, right? You're going to say that's bullshit? No, it's not. It's like one of the most brutal, hardcore martial arts that there is. Right. And then, or they'll say, like, oh, well, sport karate is bullshit. All right. We'll go fight someone like Raymond Daniels. And when he jumps, spinning hook, kicks you in the fucking head and knocks you out, like he's done to so many other people, don't be surprised when you're proven wrong. Or, like, look at a Michael Venom Page. Look at Stephen Thompson. These guys are fighting you like a sport karate guy would because they came up through the NASCA and the WACO circuits. So the thing that they're going to be good at is hitting you first and disengaging. And then hitting you again and then disengaging because that's what they're good at, and knocking people out cold and making it look easy because their timing is so good. So that's another misconception in the industry where people just shit on karate. Like, which one? Which one? Be specific here, man. Like, so
Robert, I think you're seeing it. Yeah, Robert Whitaker, Lyoto Machida. There's an endless count of people that have.
Absolutely.
And
same thing with Taekwondo.
And you can all tell, like, different styles of karate. Their range in and out is very unique. And they're like, probably one of the most underappreciated things.
It's funny to me because it seems like, again, it seems so obvious when you just take a step back and you just look. How many champions were Taekwondo black belts? A shitload of them. How many champions were karate black belts? A shitload of them. You know, like, and yet you still have like these armchair quarterbacks who say the stupidest shit. And all it does is just perpetuate the nonsense in the industry. It kind of makes it sound like the dude who watched Roadhouse too many times and thinks they have the answer, like, just kick a man in the knee, he'll drop like a stone. Like, where'd you learn that? Like, I don't know. So I think it's funny.
Just curious, for the people that like you and say they want to help you with some of the work that you do, like, what are you working on now? Like, what can people do to, like, I obviously from this conversation, I learned you're very anti-fraud and you want to help highlight the truth. So why should people reach out to you? And what could they tell you to help you on your mission?
Man, at the end of the day, like, just pay attention. Like, if you see somebody who might be having an issue, feel free to send it my way. But at the end of the day, this is supposed to be a community thing. I just happen to be the guy in charge of the brand. But at the end of the day, the idea is that we as a community should self-regulate. If you do not self-regulate, eventually a regulating body comes in and regulates it for you. We don't want nor need that. That becomes very tricky. Like, for instance, if you want an example of a regulating body coming in and telling you what you can and cannot do in the martial arts, look at something called Diaphragm Bill. The Diaphragm Bill is something that they passed in New York. And it basically states that a police officer is no longer allowed to put pressure on an assailant's diaphragm when apprehending them.
Yeah.
That means that every safe possible way to apprehend someone as a police officer has been taken away from them. You can't mount. You cannot back mount. You cannot knee on belly. You cannot side control. All you're left with is the ability to truly harm someone. You can still shoot somebody. You can still nightstick them. You can still taser them. You can still punch them. You can still kick them, and you can still slam them on the ground. You can fucking pile drive them on their head if you wanted to, but don't put pressure on their diaphragm. The safe way to actually apprehend someone through jiu-jitsu and grappling or sambo or whatever, right? So when you start allowing other people to come in and really put laws and regulations behind this shit, it becomes dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, not just for like the people, but imagine you yourself have an issue and now you have to deal with a police officer in that area. Well, back then, maybe they could body lock, take down, and then mount, and then eventually turn you over and get the cuffs on you. But that's not the case now. Legally, they could lose their job, but they sure as fuck can tase you. And if you fall the wrong way, you can bounce your head off that concrete and die. So think about like what we're doing when we're trying to regulate martial arts that way. What we really need to do is just have a set group of things that we shouldn't tolerate. We shouldn't tolerate pedophiles in the industry. How do you not tolerate that? You just let people know. Like, there are plenty of people out there right now who are convicted sex offenders who are straight up still teaching children. There's a guy named Gary Snap Ferguson. He got out of prison. He was originally arrested on 12 counts of child molestation. Because he took a plea deal, he was only charged with two, right? So then after he was convicted of the two counts, then he winds up getting out, going to a place called Brian Antak's Kempo Karate. He worked around children there. Brian pretends he didn't know. But even if he didn't know, even if that was the truth, why wouldn't he do a background check on someone at his facility who's working around children? That's negligence. It's one or the other. Either you knew or you didn't, right? And if you didn't, it's negligence because you yourself did not go out of your way to make sure that you did a background check on someone who was working around children at your facility. Or you did know and you allowed a pedophile around children and you knew he was a convicted sex offender. Either way, it doesn't make him look good, right? Or then you have like a guy named David Arnbeck. David Arnbeck is a black belt who was a black belt directly under Hickson Gracie. David Arnbeck has an entire website called davidarnbeck.com that tries to explain his side of how he molested a teenager in his home. And then yet he's still got three schools today, Warriors Cove MMA. All the shit I'm saying is out there for the public to see. Wow. But why isn't there outrage? Why aren't people talking about this shit? Why aren't people leaving these reviews? And I'm not telling people to leave reviews, but I'm saying people should do the right thing they feel. And if we don't, what's going to wind up happening is these sons of bitches are going to ruin this industry for us. They're going to ruin it. And we could pretend that we could look the other way. And I guess I'll leave these closing thoughts. I always hear people online talk about, why do I go after these people? Why do I care? Like, why does it matter? If you just worry about your students and making yourself and your students better, that's what matters. All right, let's play that game. So let's imagine martial arts is a high-rise building. And on every one of those floors is a different martial art that's represented. You have karate on the first floor, taekwondo on the second floor. Fuck yeah. Hell, I even let Aikido be in there, right? Hang out somewhere in there, right? But you have martial arts on every one of these floors. And every day you go to train, you walk up to the front desk, you check in at the front desk, you go to the elevator and go to whatever floor you feel like training. That means martial arts is all in one building. I mean, we have the word, right? Martial arts, which is an all-encompassing word, meaning all of these different martial arts. So the building is martial arts. So when I walk up, I look to my left every day and I see a guy trying to set the building on fire. Now, I could say something, but let's go down their logic. Well, if I just worry about my people, and I just worry about my training, everything else will be okay. Well, that means that you're an accomplice. You're basically looking at someone, allowing them to fucking set this building on fire and doing nothing about it until eventually they will set this building on fire with you and everyone else in it. That's what we're dealing with. We should give a fuck about our community and we should not turn a blind eye to bullshit. We don't need to go after petty stuff. I don't give a fuck how much that guy charges over there. Is he being honest? Is he charging $1 million a class? I don't give a shit. Why? Because he's being honest. Now, if he's lying to you, that's a problem. Are those students over there going to win every tournament? No. As a matter of fact, they could all suck ass at martial arts for all I give a fuck. Are they reaching their personal goals though? If they are, why do you give a shit how good or how bad they are? They're reaching their goals. They're having a good time. Who gives a fuck? They're not being lied to. They're not being raped by the coach. They're not being defrauded by the coach. Who gives a shit? I just think that if we really want to clean up the industry, we have to divert our attention from the petty, stupid ass arguments and start looking at the real serious issues, right? Don't call someone out because they did Taekwondo. Who gives a fuck? Call someone out because they raped someone. How about that? How about change the conversation to a guy like Gary Snap Ferguson or David Arnbeck? Let's talk about those people. Don't talk about the local guy who just isn't very good. Because at the end of the day, I don't fucking care, and neither should we.
Well said.
Yeah.
They say, don't meet your heroes, but I'm glad I met you, man. I really appreciate the work that you're doing. I thought a lot of what you were doing was just funny and humorous, but I like that there's a deep mission behind it, and that you're obviously so well-informed. I started Googling everything you were talking about, from the Indonesian martial arts to Jim Jones and whatnot. So hopefully we could do this again in like a year and just keep building a relationship. But what you're doing is wonderful.
I appreciate it, Rob. Man. Don't worry. I'm a dick too. Like I said, don't put me on any fucking pedestal. I drink, I smoke. I'm sure eventually I'll be caught on camera making an ass out of myself. I am nothing special. I am just some dude. But the things that I said are true.
Yeah, we do. We all do those things anyway. So hopefully we can do those things together. Maybe one day if I come to Florida.
I'm just saying, if anybody ever is like, you know, McDojo caught like butt naked doing jumping jacks in the streets, high as shit, be like, yeah, I was. And like, is what it is, man. I'm not perfect.
That's fitness. That's good. Wonderful.
Yeah, we appreciate you joining, Rob. And we definitely want to put more light on you. You have a great mission with McDojo Life. And yeah, you've illuminated us, hopefully our listeners as well. Thanks for joining us, dude.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having me. I love talking shop.
All right.
Right on.
All the best, brother. Take care.
Yes. Have a good day.
Later.
Thanks for listening to the Philosophy of Fighting podcast. If you have any questions, suggestions, or if you would like to fight us, send us a DM on Instagram at philosophy_fighting.
Hey guys, this is Anoop. I'm sure you've heard I have a startup called Renta. You can visit me at renta.com, R-E-N-T-A-H.com. The idea is you could rent any type of good service or space. So you could rent Arturo to teach you Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, or you could rent my friend Andy to set up your podcasting equipment for your next gig, or you could rent the Philosophy of Fighting podcast to promote a commercial on our podcast, or some gear, right? Like our friend Michael Shear did, if you want some Wu-Tang apparel. So check out Renta. It would mean a lot to me. Cheers.